Celtics closing out their season-long six-game road trip with a 4-2 record after a 118-104 win over the Hornets down in Charlotte. Boston now has 59 wins on the season. And let me give you a little context about why that matters. Obviously, they've got the East wrapped up. They are just a couple wins away from wrapping up the top seed in the entire NBA. But this is going to give you a little bit of context about how great this team has been this season compared to how great any team was last season. The Celtics, with 59 wins, now have one more victory than any team in the league logged last season. That's any team in the East, any team in the West. Boston now has one more victory than any team was able to grab all of last season. And here's the kicker. The Celtics still have 7 games left to play, and 6 of them are at TD Garden. So not only do the Celtics have more wins than any team from last season, but they've got a great shot at blowing away those teams from last season with a win total well into the 60s. So we're going to have to wait and see where that win total winds up. But right now, the Celtics looking like they might be able to finish in the mid-60s for the season, which that doesn't happen far too often. So just sit back and enjoy what we are experiencing right now. This game tonight down in Charlotte was a close one early on, but it felt like the Celtics were going to pull away at some point or another. It just felt like it was a matter of time before their talent took over and pulled away from what the Charlotte Hornets were able to put on the court. That happened at the end of the third quarter. The Celtics, over the final 1.5 minutes of that third quarter, rattled off a 9-0 run to end the frame, and that turned a 7-point game into a 16-point game, and they just cruised to the win from there. At the end of that quarter, Kristaps Porzingis was the guy who ignited it. He had 2 consecutive and 1 buckets, the second of which is what ignited this 9-0 run. After that, Sam Hauser caught fire. He crashed the offensive glass. He doesn't do that all too often, but he crashed the offensive glass off of Jason Tatum, missed 3-pointer, put in a putback layup, and that got him going. He closed the third quarter with a 3-pointer. He opened the fourth quarter with a 3-pointer and winds up scoring 25 points in the game, ties Jason Tatum for the team's best mark on the night. He was on fire. We are going to talk about him more later on in this podcast episode. So the Celtics blew away the Hornets during the fourth quarter, pulled away for a very comfortable win. The starters were able to sit for the final few minutes of the game, and it was a nice, comfortable win to close out this road trip, again, with a 4-2 record. Those only 2 losses coming during that long stay that the team had down in Atlanta in those 2 games against the Hawks, which we will touch on that later in this episode as well. A few key takeaways from this game. First and foremost, I mentioned Kristaps Porzingis. We got to talk about him. He scored 20 points on only 10 shots. This was his return to the super duper efficient Kristaps Porzingis that we have seen throughout this season. As we all know, anyone who's been following this team, Porzingis has been one of the most efficient players in the entire NBA since this season started. That efficiency has fallen off just a little bit during the month of March. He hasn't quite been on that same level that he's been all season long, but tonight he got back to what we all expect. He scored double the amount of points than shots he attempted. Anytime a player can do that, you know that he's having a great game. He shot 6 of 10 from the field, made 1 of his 3 3-pointers, but more importantly, finally got back to the free throw line. He really hasn't had a night where he's been getting to the free throw line very often until tonight, in which he had 8 attempts. He made 7 of them. That is the most attempts that he has had since February 27th against the Philadelphia 76ers. So a big night for him, not only from an efficiency standpoint, but also finding his way back to that free throw line. And that's been a huge, huge part of his game this season. Giving the ball to him in the post and him either scoring a bucket or finding a way to get to the free throw line. One of those 2 results has happened far more often than not this season, except for that last month or so. But now, tonight, we get that glimpse back into what Porzingis has been all season long. Let's hope that this is just the start of more things to come during this final couple of weeks of the regular season. Secondly, Sam Hauser, as we said, was on fire, scored 25 points. He shot 7 of 11 from 3-point range. So his third game of the season in which he's made at least 7 3-pointers. And the Celtics are now 14-3 on the season when he makes 4 or more 3-pointers. So if it seems like the Celtics aren't unbeatable when Sam Hauser is shooting the ball well from 3-point range, it's because they pretty much are. 14-3 when he makes at least 4 3-pointers. And again, he did that tonight with 7 made 3s during this game against Charlotte. My last takeaway is the second half defense. This has been a trend recently where Boston has kind of opened the game, kind of felt it out against their opponent. And then when the going gets tough, boom, the defense locks down during the second half. That's exactly what they did again tonight. They allowed 51 points to the Hornets during the second half on only 43% shooting from the field. Now, again, this has been a trend. The last 4 games of this road trip, during the second half, the Celtics have allowed an average of 47.3 points per half on 43.5% shooting. So it has felt a little bit like those opening moments, that opening quarter, the Celtics have kind of been finding their way defensively, haven't been playing their best defense at that stage of the game. But again, in the second half, and that's when it matters the most, that's when it seems to be that they are finding their way and locking down and really trying to impose their will defensively against the opponent. Again, they did it tonight, held Charlotte to only 43% shooting during the second half, and that's basically right on par with their average that they have allowed over the last 4 games during the second half to their opponents. Against that, again, those averages over those 4 second halves is 47.3 points per game, per half, excuse me, on 43.5% shooting from the field. Those are elite defensive numbers. And we know that this team can be elite defensively. It's got a ton of talent at that end of the court. Well, we're seeing it shine through when the moments and the lights are shining brightest over the final 4 games of this road trip. All right, only a couple of comments coming in tonight from the fans. The first is going to be from Ringo on how the 2 losses on this trip fell in line with a season-long trend. And the next one from Viking Brian on Peyton Pritchard and some other takeaways from this game. So let's dive into our first comment here from Ringo. All right, Ringo says their 2 losses could have easily been 2 wins. The major takeaway from this entire season is the Celtics have only been truly beaten handily 5 games this season. Their other 11 losses are by a combined 34 points. That's an average of 3 points per loss. Ringo, my man, you are getting into the research here. I'm glad you did it so I didn't have to. 11 losses by 34 combined points. Again, as Ringo said, an average of 3 points per loss. That is excluding the only 5 losses the Celtics have had this season that have been kind of runaway losses and wins by the other team. We all remember the one in Milwaukee. We want to forget it, but that was one of the 5 where the other team just simply outplayed the Celtics and won handily. It really seems like anytime the Celtics lose, they barely lose. And we saw that on this road trip, what Ringo was alluding to, the first game down in Atlanta, lost by 2 points. The second game down in Atlanta, lost by 1 point in overtime after the Celtics had a lead with 6.6 seconds left. So again, it just goes back to the point that more often than not, if a team is going to beat the Celtics, it is barely going to beat the Celtics. And that speaks volumes as to how talented the Celtics are and how consistent the Celtics are. Teams not only struggle to stay with them, but they struggle to barely get by for wins. And that's a great trend and a great thing that Ringo has pointed out that we should all keep in mind as we head into this postseason that's coming up here in just 2 to 3 weeks, that it doesn't seem like this Celtics team is going to lose handily very often, if at all, during a playoff run. So they're going to be in the games that they lose, they're going to have a chance to win. In the games that they win, as we've seen for the most part in this season, they've won by a comfortable margin like they did tonight by 14 points. And that adds a little bit to their point differential for the season. But just a great trend that you love to see out of this team, that anytime they lose, they still have a chance to win. And that's a great trend, as we said, heading into the playoffs when they're going to be playing against some really, really good basketball teams, possibly even during that opening round, despite being the number one seed in the Eastern Conference. All right, our next comment and our last comment of the night coming in from Viking Brian saying, the next time the top five, no haircuts needed, should make it game 36 together. He's alluding to the fact that the Celtics starting five has only played 35 games together this season, which is crazy given how great they've been. But back to Brian's comment. That game, the next game that they all play together as starters, should be the Milwaukee game. Take it to them and then rest the starters. Uncle Sam wants you to pass him the rock. He's sniping, talking about Sam Hauser. And then lastly, Peyton Pritchard should be called Slippery P, the way he can snake through the paint with the ball. I'm going to concentrate on the last part of this comment about Peyton Pritchard because he finished tonight's game with five assists. But to the point of Viking Brian here, what I found in going back and watching all of these assists through the games is that four of those five assists were off the dribble. So it's something to keep in mind that as you see Peyton Pritchard dribbling through traffic and attacking the basket and putting pressure on the opposing team, he's finding guys for open looks. And the best assist of this game, in my opinion, it stood out to me. It happened in the first quarter. It was a beautiful pass from Peyton Pritchard to Sam Hauser for one of those 7 3-pointers. Peyton Pritchard attacked the basket, exactly what Brian Scalabrine was calling for on the NBC Sports Boston broadcast. He attacked his defender, got into the paint, dribbled along the baseline, and then knew exactly where Sam Hauser was going to be. Hauser was lifting from that same corner up to the wing on the right side of the court, and Peyton Pritchard just found him with a perfect, on-time, on-target pass for Hauser to lift into a beautiful, wide-open three-pointer. So you love to see Peyton Pritchard continue to contribute to this team, not only on nights where he scores the ball well, but on nights like tonight where he only scored, I think he had, what did he have, 5 points? 7 points in this game, but winds up with 5 assists and only 1 turnover. So when he has the ball in his hands, he is certainly, as we all know, a threat to score the basketball, both from three-point range and taking the ball to the basket. He's been using his body in a great fashion, a very effective fashion, when he gets near the hoop, bumping his defender off of his line to be able to get an open shot at the basket and off the backboard. But he's not only doing that, but he's also finding teammates for open looks. And he's taking care of the ball. So when you have someone coming off the bench like that, who's playing and going to be playing around dangerous offensive threats like Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, Derek White, Drew Holiday, Kristaps Porzingis, Al Horford, whoever, Sam Hauser, the combination of guys is, when you've got a point guard who can navigate the offense, take the ball off the dribble to put pressure on the opposing team, and still find teammates for open looks, that's a nightmare for opponents. Because the Celtics aren't going to go deep into their bench during this playoff run unless they have to, obviously. They're going to lean on their top players. So when Peyton Pritchard is on the floor, he's going to be sharing the floor with the best players. So the fact that he is seeing the floor at such a high level, being slippery through the paint, as Brian says, should call him Snake, Slippery P, the way he's snaking through the paint, it's just another threat that opponents have to worry about every single night. And that's on top of the fact that he's a 40% three-point shooter. Peyton Pritchard has been fantastic this season, especially so since the All-Star break. And I really feel that he's going to be a key contributor to the Celtics team during the playoffs. He has won playoff games for the Celtics in the past. And I would not be shocked if he does that again during this playoff run that we've got coming up in just a few weeks. So the Celtics and Peyton Pritchard wrap up their season-long 6-game road trip with a 4-2 record. And finally, after 2 weeks on the road, they finally get to head back home. They are off on Tuesday, but then they are back on the parquet floor at TD Garden Wednesday night for one of the most anticipated games of the season. That's Wednesday night at TD Garden when the Celtics host the top seed in the West. That's the Oklahoma City Thunder and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who just drained basically a buzzer-beating game winner against the Knicks down in New York just a couple days ago. They're coming to the Garden. It's going to be the top seed in the West versus the top seed in the East. The Celtics will be looking to split this season series. And who knows, this could be a preview of what we could see in June if the Boston Celtics are able to punch their way into their second NBA Finals in the past three seasons. Again, that game is Wednesday night at 7:30 Eastern, and I will be sounding off with you right after that game. And until then, have a great couple of nights, and we'll see you Wednesday night.